From Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a teenager, Gerard Manley Hopkins was away at boarding school. Every day he read from the New Testament, because he had promised his mother that he would. He grew up to be a poet, a religious poet who lived before his time. He did not publish one word of poetry during his lifetime, but he's considered one of the best of his age. Here's the first line of one of his poems. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. Is that how we see God? In the world, so full of God's presence that it is lit up, shining, almost electric. The poem goes on to say, since God's presence is so obvious, why is it that we don't do what God wants of us? Why isn't life the way it's supposed to be? In our scripture reading here for today, the people have been through great trauma. Life wasn't the way it was supposed to be. God's chosen people were not supposed to be dragged off into exile, living in a foreign land against their will, while their place and their space, their land was taken over. How does any of that make sense? The Lord God is up in heaven and God's people are losing? The land they've been taken to has people in it who worship other gods, lots of other gods. It was tempting for God's people to consider that the way their captors were doing things seemed to be working out better, at least in the short run. But the prophet Isaiah, he had words to say that came from God, words about who God is and how God is, answers to people's questions about God. The Lord says, I am the first and I am the last. There's no one else. There's no other God to believe in. It's me. I'm your rock. I'm the one that has been your God from the beginning and will be your God to the end. Now, you and I, we live in a different time, but we still have God questions. People used to say, why did God do this? Or why did God let this happen? Or what was God trying to teach us? But now the question I hear people asking the most is, where was God? Just in the years I've been a pastor, there have been so many times of tragedy that drove us to say, where was God at Columbine? Where was God on 9/11? Where was God during the tsunami in Indonesia? Where was God at Sandy Hook? Years ago, a friend of mine experienced a tragic death in her family. And her mom asked me, where was God? And it was a pivotal moment in my faith journey because I heard myself say what it was I believe. God is crying with us. God is here with us sad with us. God did not cause the car accident. God did not cause the shooting. I don't believe God wants those things to happen. I believe God is with us in our grief, and with those who were afraid, with the people we grieve for. God didn't change what happened, but God did not abandon us to it either. God is our rock. God is the first and the last. God is at the beginning and at the end. At the beginning of all of life and at the end of all of life, God is the God of here and the God of now, the God of all eternity. But does that mean that God is only with us in tragedy? We may be more open to looking for God in times of tragedy, but where is God in the joy is an important question too. When we experience the beauty of creation, do we notice that it is charged with God's grandeur? When we read a poem that speaks to us across the century, do we hear God in that gift? When we listen to music or see the joy in a child's face as they play, do we believe that God is with us there too, in our laughter, in our celebrations? I believe God built us with the capacity to love, to reflect God's love in the way we love each other, in the way we can be joyful for one another. God's faithfulness is as solid as the rock, and God's love for us is as boundless as the distance between the first and the last. Abraham Heschel is a Jewish theologian. He says, "The astonishing fact of God's love is the boldest theological assertion in history. A God of tenderness and mercy. A God with whom healing and reconciliation, not harm and destruction, finally prevail." Where is God? Where is God when we are somewhere between the joy and the sorrow? When we do not know what comes next? When we recognize how out of control our life can be? It is the solid rock of God's love for us that we can stand on, keeping our eyes open for the next step of the journey, being present to whatever moment brings to us, accepting that we have God's mercy walking with us. Diana Butler Bass started her book Grounded talking about standing in a labyrinth at Mount Calvary Monastery in Santa Barbara, California. Now, you remember that a labyrinth looks like a maze, but really leads you as a spiritual tool toward the center. And what you're doing as you're walking is you're thinking about your center and God at the core of who you are and how God is leading you to listen. I tend to picture them in out-of-the-way places like retreat centers, quiet, making space to hear God. That's where the monks used to have their labyrinth. Way up on a mountaintop, away from the world with a view of water and mountains as far as the eye could see. But then the monastery burned in a wildfire, and the monks came down to sea level and shared space with some nuns who were located in the city, in the midst of the people. When the monks got their insurance settlement, they had to decide where to rebuild. It wasn't an easy decision. Because the truth is, we need that mountaintop kind of space where we listen for God. And yet the monks decided what they heard God saying this time was that God needed something different from them. What they heard was that God is everywhere, surrounding us, looking for ways to call out to us, to get our attention, to show us that we have God's work to do together. So they decided the time had come to plant themselves with the people, to let the sounds of the neighbors be part of listening to the voice of God. God, who is the first and the last, the rock at the center of all of life. Where is God? God is where we want and need to be, present to the moments of our lives, whether they are joy-filled or fearful. God is at the core of all that is, calling out to us, saying, I am with you. I am your rock. Stand on me and know that you are all my children. God's Spirit is ready to lead us into a life with hope and meaning and purpose. May it be so for you and for me. In Jesus' name, amen.